are falling into place. Series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This week, we focus on the National Alliance on Mental Illness in New York State. We do so with three wonderful guests. Tina Lee is here, a community education and outreach manager for the Alliance. Matthew Shapiro is the associate director of public affairs. And Jeffrey Simons joins us. He is superintendent of schools for East Greenbush Central School District. And it is a great pleasure to welcome the trio to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Let us begin, Tina, as to giving us a sense of what the National Alliance of Mental Illness is all about.
Well, we're one of the largest grassroots mental health organizations in the nation. We're a national organization. We are a nominee New York State. We're located in Albany, and we provide support, education, and advocacy for families and individuals impacted by mental health issues. But we also provide a lot of training for law enforcement, crisis intervention training, as well as bringing mental health literacy programs to schools, which is very important initiative for us in our community.
How long have you been around, and how have you made an impact, do you think, over that time?
Well, we started out in the 1970s. There was two moms that had loved ones with schizophrenia, and they were institutionalized, and they felt that their loved ones really deserve to have a very productive life. And so there's a tag named NAMI Mommies that I'm very proud to be one of those. But we started out, talking about the importance of bringing mental health and wellness to our community. So we've been around for quite a long time. But, as I, talk to my colleagues a lot about this, that, we're probably one of the best kept secrets, which is not a good thing because, the topic of mental health we don't talk about. But our organization is been known to be not one of those organizations that we know about and talk about every day.
I do know that one of your main missions is this idea of mental health literacy. Matthew, can you tell us a little bit about that and getting that word out?
Sure, of course. Historically, there have been so many misconceptions about mental illness and mental wellness. So what we're really trying to do is address those, address the stigma of mental health and really show people the realities of what it's like to live with a mental illness. These are chronic diseases, but people can manage them and live healthy lives and be productive, have careers, have families, and be happy. And, we just want mental illness to be looked at as other physical illnesses, something that 1 in 5 people have, but they're manageable and something we can live with.
So before we bring the superintendent into this conversation, Tina, talk a little bit about why your work with the schools is so important.
Well, I think, Jeff and I had a moment to talk about how, schools really spend more time most of the time than our own kids as parents. And I think they are sort of the gatekeepers. They're seeing a lot of mental health issues surface. We know that, 50% of mental health conditions surface by age 14 and 75% by age 24. So you can see how important and critical an educator, role is when they see that a student may not be feeling well, they're not going to be doing well. So, as a parent myself who has a daughter who has a lot of mental health conditions, I think that, if she were early identified early in her school career, she would not have suffered for so long. Her trajectory of her life would have been different. She's, very productive right now. But, again, it takes a toll, on, a family when, an individual has that mental health condition. So, as Jeff and I were talking about, it's so important that, we work as a team, families and schools work together to make sure that, we get that student to be able to graduate, have a very productive life. And that includes mental wellness.
I want to get into obviously what your school is doing, Jeff. But so do you want to talk a little bit, or I'll leave it up to which one of you wants to talk about how this basically comes out of the New York State Mental Health Bill?
Well, I'll talk about that. One of the things that is unique to New York State, effective July 1st, schools are required to teach mental health literacy. And we are the only state at this time where that is a requirement for schools. More importantly than a state mandate, 1 in 5 children have been identified by the Center for Disease Control as having some type of a mental health issue. And schools are experiencing the need to make sure that we are educating our children regarding mental health awareness, working with our teachers and staff to provide professional development and resources to be able to identify and support children and families effectively. And as part of an overall look at our professional development initiatives this year, we reached out to NAMI to provide some educational programs for students, and we have some upcoming opportunities for our parents. Mm-hmm. So this partnership made sense to us in terms of A, meeting the mandate, but B, putting more resources into the hands of our educators to help kids and families.
So what does that mean for professional development for those, for the teachers and people within your school to make this really from K through 12, right?
It is a K through 12 initiative. In terms of our professional development plan, we tend to focus on the academic issues that our teachers are challenged with. For example, new curriculum standards, using computer technology in the classroom. But this year, we've identified workshops and specific sessions on our professional development days that focus on the whole child. Everything from being more aware of the impact of trauma on children and how trauma affects students' behavior in school, to making our staff aware of resources that are available to work with children and families. We've done some workshops on increasing our level of awareness regarding the impact of poverty on children and relationships between economic disadvantage, student behaviors, and how we can address those types of issues that flow from students being hungry, students being scared, and students having trauma in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And recently, we were in the Columbia High School, and we presented a mental health literacy program called NAMI Ending the Silence. And it's a different program. You know, we're not talking at the kids. You know, we're talking with the kids. So there's a lead presenter with lived experience, and then we bring in a young adult who's living in recovery. And, you know, Jeff and I were talking about how a lot of kids actually at the end of the program came out and asked for help, or they wanted to help their friends. And, you know, again, you know, we're talking about social-emotional learning. It's not about the illness in a child. It's about that whole wellness, because we have to look at it before the illness occurs, you know, so really teaching students to be good citizens, you know, if they see something, to say something and to be supportive and having that compassionate and caring community.
One of the things that came out of the sessions that we did with all of our high school students, we had an assembly for ninth graders and 10th graders and then a separate assembly for juniors and seniors, is we promoted the idea of knowing who the trusted adults were within the school. So each student left that assembly with a list of names of people that they could go to, everyone from an administrator to a favorite teacher to a counselor or even a support staff member. If they were experiencing some type of an issue and they needed somebody to talk to, they had a list of names, titles, locations, and contact information so that we can wrap support around our kids who are experiencing some of these challenges.
Go ahead.
And that's so important because I think a lot of times people don't know where to turn, especially as a young person who has a mental illness. Who are they comfortable talking with? Who are they safe with? And showing who those adults are so important in the school, because a lot of times they're not comfortable talking to their parents. They're not comfortable talking to their friends. But if it's a trusted teacher or a coach that they have that relationship, it's so important. Something that we talk about at NAMI a lot is the simple concept of I will listen. Knowing that you have someone who will listen to you, not judge you, is so important. Because that's, I think, when we talked about mental health literacy and the kind of those old-fashioned fears about talking about mental illness, you think you're going to be judged or looked at as weak. So knowing that there's a safe space that you can talk openly is so important. It's great that you're instilling that in the school.
To pick up just where Matthew was, Jeffrey, let's talk about, because I know one of the things that you're working on, and I find this interesting, is making the case for improving the relationship between students and educators. Mm-hmm. What are the challenges in doing that?
Well, the first challenge is time. You know, with the increased emphasis on accountability and student performance and testing, teachers face enormous challenges in terms of making sure that instructional time is preserved and as we're trying to meet higher standards for kids. But at the same time, we need to find time within the school day to make sure that teachers are connecting with kids and that relationship building is very important. So, you know, all learning is social. And students can't be successful at achieving academic outcomes if they're feeling unsafe or they're feeling disconnected in any way. And part of what we're trying to do in educating our faculty and staff is to let them know that, yes, academic accountability and student performance continues to be important, but we need to take time out to step back, take a breath, and connect with kids, because the social connection piece is critically important, not only for kids in terms of addressing their needs, but also in terms of making sure that they can be academically successful. Kids come to school and they want to feel safe, and kids come to school want to know that they are valued. And if we can address those two key questions, they're going to do better academically.
Mm-hmm. You're doing some parent workshops. I know one in December on keeping tech in check, and then also in January on coping and recognizing anxiety, and then being mindfulness at home in February. So important workshops that will be offered to the parents.
We see ourselves as partners with the parents. We work to establish not only relationships with our kids, but with our families. These workshops are intended to have conversations about how we can work more closely together. You know, technology is a huge issue. We're not necessarily pinpointing technology as a source of all of the problems that some of our kids face. We are promoting the use of technology, but it's a matter of how do we help our families understand the importance of limit setting and establishing appropriate boundaries for using that technology, when it is appropriate for the students to be shutting down and disconnecting from the world so that they can be in a more relaxed state of mind, shutting the cell phone off, for example, and establishing a regular routine about how that technology is accessed in the home.
Right. And all this is so important that students know that they have these relationships with teachers, because we're really in an epidemic across the country. There's a real shortage of psychiatrists and a real, real shortage of children's psychiatrists. So, you know, we talk about this at NAMI all the time, that, you know, families become the safety net, schools become the safety net. And when Tina explained the education support services that we offer, it's so important to NAMI that we give schools and families and friends the tools they need to be a support system and to help guide recovery, because there aren't enough professional outlets out there. It's a nationwide epidemic. It's no different here in New York, especially upstate and in more rural counties. But, you know, making sure that schools are equipped to be the safety net and to handle children's mental health needs and properly communicate those concerns to families. Because, you know, in the past, a lot of times if a teacher had a concern about the student and went to the parent, it could be somewhat adversarial. But, you know, teaching schools not just to recognize the problems, but how to appropriately communicate them and most effectively communicate with parents is so important. It's all about providing the right tools, because everyone has a role in driving recovery.
NAMI stands for National Alliance on Mental Illness in New York State. You can find out more information about all the great work that they do by going to NAMI, NAMI, NAMINYS, New York State. See what they did there? NAMINYS.org for more information. Also, to find out the great work that they are doing in East Greenbush, you can go to their website, which is EGCSD, which stands for East Greenbush Central School District. EGCSD.org. All right. Also, to make it really easy for you, we have all of those links on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, and you can go there and just click and find out more information. Tina Lee is the Community Education and Outreach Manager of NAMI New York State. Matthew Shapiro is the Associate Director of Public Affairs. And Jeffrey Simons is Superintendent of Schools in East Greenbush Central School District. What a great pleasure to have you all here. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress.